Hello, everybody. This is John Marks, the editor of CopsAlive.com. I'm welcoming you to another edition of Cops Alive Audio Bulletin, and today's subject is going to be nutrition. I would like to introduce our guest for today. She is a certified nutritionist and the author of the book What Your Doctor Doesn't Tell You, A Simple Guide Between Nutrition and Disease. Our guest today is Tina Ulatowski. I've known Tina for a number of years. She has given me a tremendous amount of great advice, and now she has consented to be a contributor for Cops Alive. So, Tina, welcome.
Thank you, John.
Would you mind starting off telling the audience a little bit about you and your background and, you know, how you got to where you are now?
Well, actually, I am also a social worker, and in 1999, the year 2000, somewhere around there, I was diagnosed with cancer, not once, not twice, but three times.
Wow.
And my team of physicians gave me less than 6 months to live. They had told me to put my life in order, and it was kind of a challenge, being a single mom, raising two kids, the youngest three, and the oldest was 12 at the time. And it just gave me a different perspective on life, gave me an opportunity to appreciate life and do a little bit of research on my own. And that led me down the path of looking at nutrition and how it plays an important part of our daily lives. And being a social worker, it's very crucial because there are so many things contributed to depression and anxiety, and those can be linked to the hormone imbalances that we create naturally in our bodies. And food plays an important role on that to help us get stabilized.
And if I remember correctly, you have a degree in criminal justice as well, don't you?
Correct.
Okay. I know your story, and it is a very compelling one. What does one do when confronted with a triple cancer diagnosis? I mean, what did you do?
Well, at first I was angry, I was scared, I was mad. I went through every single emotion possible that we all get when we're faced with a terminal diagnosis, from depression and anxiety. And I was put on a lot of medications, and that didn't really help. And so, you know, having less than 6 months to live, you really try and find possibilities to live. And it was my kid that, you know, were the main thing of this, because they're the ones that kept me here. They're the ones that, you know, I would wake up every day and think, oh, my gosh, who's going to be there for my girls if their mom's not there for them? And so, like I said, it went through huge emotion, sadness, anger. I was angry at my God, angry at the world for giving me a terminal diagnosis and possibly taking away me away from my children.
Yeah.
So, and with that, like I said, it led me down to trying to understand different things. I had a team of physicians, like I said, and one of those was a registered dietitian. Mm-hmm. Well, registered dietitians are great, but they put you on a diet specifically for a diagnosis. Now, not only did I have cancer, but I also had Crohn's disease and rheumatoid arthritis as well. So there you have it, another diet that they have to put you on to monitor your intake and your output of the nutrition or the food that you are consuming. And along this process, nobody ever asked me really what I was eating. I thought I ate pretty good. I cooked my own food, but I cooked it out of boxes.
Right.
I enjoyed going to the movies with my girl, so I would eat a box of hot tamales because I was supposed to get in whatever caloric intake I was supposed to get at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And not understanding that sugar affects our immune system quite rapidly and quite quickly at times. And so that kind of just opened my eyes a little bit as to, you know, my doctors aren't even asking me what I'm eating. They're just telling me to get the caloric intake into my body.
So it sounds like you kind of decided, hey, if I'm going to recover, I need to sort of take this the healing process into your own hands in a way.
Absolutely. You know, the healthcare profession, they're there to give you a little bit of advice. They're not there to tell you whether you're going to live or you're going to die. They give you a little bit of tools, and we can take those and apply those to our life, or we can totally ignore those things that they kind of tell us to do. And I was one of those that kind of ignored what they told me to do. You know, I refused chemotherapy after 6 rounds because it was making me just so ill and so nauseous, and it was killing me. And I looked at food to try and heal my body, not just food, but your emotional, your physical, and my spiritual belief at the time. All of them worked synergistically together to help me achieve what I've been able to accomplish in the past 10 years.
So will you share with us what exactly did you learn? And I've read your book, and it's excellent, and so I can read ahead here, but can you share with us a little bit about what you've learned?
Well, I think the main thing what I've learned is if we look at these four components, emotional, physical, spiritual, and nutritional, like I said, they all work synergistically together. One doesn't work to the optimum without the other. It's kind of like a DNA strand. They work. They've got to function together.
Right.
Emotionally, I had to stop blaming others. I had to, and not even blame myself. I had to really take a grasp on this and look at this and not play the blame game or feel sorry for me or have others feel sorry for me and play poor me. I have cancer and I want everybody to feel sorry for me.
Right.
I had to live life. I'm given one life in this world and I wanted to live it to the fullest. So I learned to embrace my imperfections. I learned to embrace things that they may be today. I learned to forgive those individuals that may have harmed me along this path, including myself, which is part of that emotional thing that some of us have a tendency to grab onto and hang on to, kind of like a luggage that's got magnets all over it. If we don't let go of this luggage, we continue to attract other magnetic things that just hold on to this luggage, and it gets heavier and heavier. Well, and over time, we can no longer carry this baggage or luggage that's just bringing us down over time.
That's got to have a lot to do with nutrition, too. I mean, so many people substitute eating for emotional needs. And I'm sure that's true of cops as well as anybody else, that, you know, we eat on the run, we, you know, eat when we're stressed, you know, we substitute all kinds of things, and I'm sure some of that is filling an emotional need.
It is. You know, some of us, you know, it's just kind of like smoking. Some of us pick up things, habits,
right,
and put them in our mouth. You know, food is the number one, and I know a lot of police officers that I've worked with over the number of years that are saying, I don't have time to eat. I just stop by a fast food restaurant and I pick up something to go, because I don't have time for that. Well, if you make time the night before and put a sack lunch or a brown bag lunch together with the nutrients, it's going to fuel your body all day, and you're going to be able to perform and respond better when you need to, opposed to feeling tired and lethargic because you just ate, you know, a whole bunch of fried food or because it was just quick and easy and convenient.
Yeah.
Which, you know, cardiovascular disease is on the rise because of the trans fat that's in all of our fried food.
Yeah. Well, cops are notorious for, A, eating junk food, and you know, B, not paying attention to our diet. And we have an elevated risk of cancers, I think every form of cancer, and an elevated risk of heart disease, and I'm sure a lot of that has to do with what we eat.
I would assume so, you know, not to mention, you know, like you said, the stress.
Right.
There are certain foods that we can do, you know, nutrition foods to help with all these stress and to help with anxiety and to help with depression. There's many there, you know, and like I said earlier, sugar, you know, certainly didn't help my being as a cancer survivor. You know, sugar suppresses your immune system. And so this is why during, I want to say, probably about August, September, you'll notice that the Halloween candy is coming out.
Right.
And we start seeing flu symptoms. Hmm. And they run all the way until probably April, till Easter. Well, this is where we have an abundance of holidays, not to mention all the sugar and candy that's coming in and out of our homes, in our children's mouths, in our mouths, because it's there. We buy it for our kids, or it's at our workplace, and, you know, so you grab a handful of M&Ms or you grab a handful of this, you know, pop them in your mouth, and, you know, lo and behold, you've consumed well over 100 grams of sugar, which can suppress your immune system for 6 to 8 hours per day.
And I think you were the one that first turned me on to some of the ill effects of soda pop that so many people take for granted. That's cola for those of you on the eastern part of the United States, actually suppresses your immune system, and that's not a good thing. That's not what we're expecting out of that little jolt we get from a soda.
Right, right. You know, I mean, sugar in moderation is okay, but we were in a society where we just eat an abundance of sugar. And I'll give you a quick conversion, John, so everyone's got the conversion rate, because so all of our food comes in grams.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't taught to understand grams when I, you know, cook or when I look at things. So how do you convert that?
Right.
4.75 grams of sugar. So we were always taught to round that up, right?
Okay.
So we rounded up to 5. 5 grams of sugar is equal to 1 teaspoon.
Okay.
So the packets that are sitting on all of the restaurant tables or in McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, that's 1 teaspoon. So that's 5 grams of sugar.
Okay.
So when you're looking at a soda pop that may contain 31 grams of sugar, you've got to convert that into the packets. But that's per serving, and most soda pop cans have 2 servings. So we've got to multiply the number of servings times the number of grams, and that's going to give us the actual amount of sugar that's in that particular item.
Okay. So it's a ton.
It can be a ton, absolutely.
And that's just one thing we consume.
You think about it, are you going to open up all of those packets and just dump them out into a glass of water and eat all of that sugar? Probably not. But we don't have... We don't think that far in advance when we're going to get that quick fix or when we want something to satisfy some of those cravings, or the emotional cravings that I call them.
Yeah.
We just go get them and don't think of maybe the side effects that they might be hitting us with.
You were also the one that tuned me into high fructose corn syrup, which now that I've learned to read labels, it's everywhere. And that's basically sugar, correct?
Correct.
Right. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I can. Corn syrup, you know, it had its purpose, but corn syrup is in everything that we consume, from bread to crackers to soup mixes to vitamins to all kinds of stuff that it's in. And there are 3 items that are the most genetically modified food. Corn is one of them. So now you've got this sugar substance that is derived from corn, which is where you get the fructose, and then you've got glucose in there, which, you know, add to the obesity epidemic that we're seeing in today's world. And again, that's a sugar. And so your body really doesn't know what to do with these foreign types of sugars because it's a man-made. Same thing with sugar substitutes. A lot of people are like, well, I'm going to put Splenda in my drink, or NutraSweet, or Equal. Well,
right.
Those are just as toxic because, again, they're derived from chemicals. And a matter of fact, Splenda has 3 different chemicals that our brain doesn't even know how to recognize. So it's really important that if we do consume sugar, we consume sugar from a natural source. White sugar is better than sugar substitutes. But there are coming out with a lot of new ones, the agave nectar, which is from the yucca plant, which is derived, that's where they make the tequila from.
Okay.
So they've got the yucca plant that is the agave nectar. Honey is really good for individuals that don't have an allergic reaction to it. And then you also have the stevia plant. And the stevia plant has been used over in the Orient for about 5,000 years, and it is about 100 times sweeter than sugar, so it takes just a finite amount of the stevia to use whenever you bake or put it in a beverage.
You know, I notice a lot of restaurants and things have brown sugar or raw sugar, I think is how it's labeled. I'm assuming that's maybe a little bit better than the refined white sugar, but still kind of a problem?
It can be still of a problem. Your body knows better what to do with it. Brown sugar, just to let everyone know, brown sugar is actually white sugar that has maple or that has molasses added to it, or caramel coloring.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. I thought you refined brown sugar to get white sugar.
No. Well, this is the thing, is regular sugar, when it comes out of the crops,
yeah,
it is brown. That's its natural state.
Yeah.
But what happens is we take it, and sugar goes through 33 different bleaching processes to become white. And then
all just to make it look pretty.
Look at a brown sugar, they add caramel coloring back into the sugar to make it brown. So it's kind of the same thing as enriched flour, which is now this thing that, you know, everyone's like, oh, I eat this enriched bread. Well, what that is they've taken the grains and they've stripped all the nutrients from these grains and have chemically added the nutrients back in them, such as riboflavin, fiber, vitamin C, iron. So they totally stripped the grains of the good nutrients and have chemically added them back in now to make it enriched.
Only human beings could do something like this.
Absolutely. But, you know, we trust the government with our food. I mean, we, you know, the government's supposed to oversee all of our food and make sure it's safe for us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got Sweet and Low sitting on every single restaurant table and is being sold, and it is a known carcinogenic. Now, mind you, a carcinogenic is a cancer-causing agent.
Yeah.
Okay. How much are we supposed to trust the government with our food because of these known carcinogenics that are in our food?
Hmm. Okay, we've touched on the sugars, and just because I know you, I know that that's not the whole story. What else have we got out there?
It's not the whole thing. Some of the other items that we want to stay away from are the hydrogenated oil, and we kind of briefly just touched on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But hydrogenated oils become an oil, hydrogenated when you take and you manipulate the molecular structure of any type of an oil. So it could be a very, very good oil, such as an olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use olive oil when they do sauteing.
Right.
And, of course, that's better for you. But the fact is now when you boil that oil, which means it's really, really hot oil, and you can tell that it's really hot by when you just kind of sprinkle a little bit of water in there, it starts popping all over.
Right.
That's when you've changed the molecular structure of that oil, and now it becomes hydrogenated oil.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so you're better off just steaming your vegetables lightly, which is still going to keep the nutrients intact, and add a little bit of olive oil after they're finished being steamed, because it's going to lock in the nutrients and the flavor of those vegetables.
Okay, so we use, in human history, we started using oils and butter and I would assume cream for flavoring, right? And so that's why it's still in everything?
Correct. And, you know, you'll probably remember, oh, probably maybe 10, 15 years ago, they were saying, oh, don't eat butter. It's bad for you. And it's created this and it's created that. And then they came out with all these other butter substitutes like margarine.
Right.
Okay. Those are trans fats. Those are hydrogenated oil.
Okay.
And they thought they were good for us. But in reality, something that's closer to the source is much better for our bodies than something that is derived from nothing. You can actually take a stick of butter outside and a tub of margarine outside, and you can see which one's the butter or the which one's the bugs eat. They will not touch the margarine, but they'll eat the butter.
Huh.
So bugs are smarter than humans at some point in their life because they know what they should consume and what they shouldn't consume.
I've heard that test before from you that you can always predict, and it's not just butters and things you've talked about, but, you know, the things that you find in between the seats of your car, if the bugs aren't eating it, why did you eat it in the first place?
Absolutely. You know, a great experiment for individuals that, I mean, it's not really even an experiment, but think about the last time that maybe you were eating a French fry. And you dropped that French fry down between the seat of your car and you couldn't reach it at that particular time and you thought, I'll just get it later on.
Right.
When I go to vacuum out my car, and maybe a couple months go by, or you sell your car or you buy another car. And that French, you see a French fry and it's there.
And it's perfectly preserved.
It doesn't have any mold on it, does it?
Yeah, it seems like they don't change over time because they look pretty much the same from the day that you bought it to 100 years later when you find it in your car.
Right, and I'm thinking, you know, that if you add water to it and put it in the microwave, it'll probably plump back up and you could probably eat it.
Well, maybe we should think about that.
You know, and I think about that and I think, wow, if food stays good like that, why do I want it in my body? Because mold attaches itself to healthy living organisms. That's where penicillin was originally derived from, is mold, which cures ailments, you know. But most of our food these days doesn't get moldy because of all of the preservatives that we've added into them.
So can you give us some strategies then for healthy eating and maybe even healthy shopping? Because I know it's an awful lot of work.
It is an awful lot of work, especially when you're new at it and you think, oh my gosh, this is very overwhelming. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the basic things that most of us need to look for are breads. We need to have grain breads. Turn them over and look at the ingredients and make sure that there's not hydrogenated oil or partially hydrogenated oils in there, because if so, it's a trans fat. And the government has said that if it's 0.5% or below, they don't have to disclose it on the packaging as a trans fat.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, trans fats are linked to cardiovascular disease, hardening of the arteries, and other debilitating factors, health factors. So we want to limit our intake of hydrogenated oils.
Okay.
So they're found in bread. They're found in peanut butter. So most of us really like peanut butter. It's a great source of protein, but we're eating the wrong types of peanut butter. We need to have peanut butter that is just peanuts and salt, no hydrogenated oils.
Okay.
And, of course, a lot of people are like, ew, but it looks yucky. The oil's just floating on top. Well, it's supposed to float on top. You stir it up. Once it's stirred up, you put it in the refrigerator, and you don't have to stir it again. But now they're even coming out with some more natural peanut butters that you don't have to be stirred.
Okay.
So that's a bonus as well. So breads, peanut butters, watch your sugar intake with some of the things that we're purchasing. Try and limit your intake of soda pops, Coca-Cola beverages as much as possible, you know, because that adds waste to the waistline. It adds, decreases our immune system, and it really doesn't add anything to our existence, with exception to maybe the fill that we get that when we're drinking a soda, it kind of tastes good. But again, it's full of corn syrup.
Right. So the key here is really all about reading labels.
It is about reading labels, you know, and that's the hardest part, is once you can find those items that you've kind of researched. That's great. And I do have a shopping guide for individuals, you know, that if they wanted to contact me, I do have a shopping guide that I would be more than happy to email them to, where they've got it. They can print it out and it's got, you know, everything from A to Z. These are the healthier choices for them to find.
Okay, great. Do you want to give
a
contact?
It's a starting place for people to say, okay, I'm going to try this and I'm going to try that and do this. So the other important thing that I would say, too, is, you know, most Americans do not consume the recommended 9 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables every day that are known to prevent and treat diseases. So I really want to stress on that.
You know, I figure breakfast is a hard time for vegetables. It's hard to squeeze in 9 to 12 servings.
It is very hard to squeeze in 9 to 12 servings. And, you know, John, I was just reading some information the other day, and it takes 5 oranges today to equal the calcium content that one orange equaled 10 years ago.
Really?
Yes, because of all of the soil is being depleted from the nutrition, because we're not composting our soils like we need to.
Hmm. So we're not even getting what we need from those quote-unquote 9 to 12 servings.
Correct. Correct. And it's, I mean, you know, the manufacturing companies have gotten really great at preparing our food for us. You know, they've got broccoli and cauliflower and snap peas and carrots and all of that good stuff already cut up ready for us to go. Mm-hmm. So we can buy it, put it in little baggies, and take it with us on the go.
You know,
so I tell people that, you know, all these excuses are like belly buttons. We all have them. It just depends on what we want to do with them.
So we're looking at labels. We're watching for sugars and corn syrup. We are we're watching out for hydrogenated oils. What else?
Well, the other item that we want to look for is MSG, which is monosodium glutamate.
Okay.
And monosodium glutamate can be found. It's a flavor enhancer. And most people can associate it with, Chinese food or Oriental food.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, they don't use it over in the Orient. We use it here in the United States as a flavor enhancer.
Great.
It can be found in spice mixes, soup mixes, potato chips. I've even found it on crackers. So, you're not going to see it as MSG. You're going to see it as monosodium glutamate.
Okay. So, I mean, from my experience, you scan the label, you look at the top chart that this is in the U.S. at least, that shows a breakdown of proteins and carbohydrates and sugars and I think sodium. And then somewhere below there is a list of ingredients. And one of my big red flags is the longer the list of ingredients, the more red flags it raises for me, because a lot of those are flavor enhancers and preservatives. Right?
You're absolutely correct. You know, and one of the things that I tell people is, you know, the nutritional facts are what the government says that all food items have to have on there. You know, and so it's a standard. So the ingredients are going to tell you what's in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I tell people the cleaner that you can eat, the better off you're going to be. You know, most of our animals that we consume are injected with a hormone, which is the growth hormone called an RBG1 growth hormone, and that bulks them up, you know, and they produce more milk. Well, in the process, dairy cattle get udder infections, so now they're injected with an antibiotic to help with that udder infection. And, you know, not just the beef that is injected into it, any of its byproduct is injected with it as well. So you're looking at sour cream and cottage cheese and yogurt and butter and milk, ice cream, any of that stuff. I feel personally that it should be very clean, hormone and antibiotic free.
And that's something that's not on any label, so we don't know what's happened with the products that we're eating.
Right. It's just like, you know, working at, a lot of police officers, you know, go to the gym and they work out steadily and they drink a lot of these whey proteins. Well, where's their whey coming from? I mean, whey is from a cattle. You know, so where's the source of their whey? Is it a clean source of whey? Probably not.
Is that the reason we're seeing so many foods now labeled as organic? Is that, if my understanding is organic means that the soils haven't been treated, and if you're talking about livestock, that they haven't been treated with hormones and antibiotics and things.
In order to be certified, John, certain farms have to go through a very rigorous process. They've got to have 7 years of composting and no pesticides or very limited pesticides and herbicides in order to go through being certified as organic. One of the differences between natural and organic is that when you're consuming something that is a natural product, such as beef, the standards say that they only have to have 6 weeks of no injections of hormones or antibiotics. Well, 6 weeks versus their lifetime of no hormones and antibiotics, that's huge to me, because you can still see tumor growth and other types of growth on animals that have still been injected prior to 6 weeks before they're, ready for consumption, basically. So that's the difference between natural and organic foods.
Okay. And the only way we're going to know that is if it's labeled as such, correct? in the United States, and the laws are different all around the world.
They are, and I will let you know that European countries have stricter laws or regulations on their food than the United States has. As a matter of fact, Tokyo will, or I shouldn't say not just Tokyo, but Japan will not even import our beef to them because of all the hormones and antibiotics we inject into our cattle, nor will they take our milk. Mexico, our neighboring country, will not allow it either.
Really? And that's not about, that doesn't have to do with trade.
Japan and Mexico really are not third world countries, but they get it, and we don't.
Yeah. So we're paying attention. I mean, I'd like to bounce back to your recovery from cancer. How long ago was it that you were diagnosed?
10 years.
Wow. That's a pretty good track record, considering that the fact that you were diagnosed with three different kinds of cancer.
Right.
So how relate this back now to where you are today and what you've learned over those 10 years, and how you really have learned to tie your nutrition into your health and recovery.
Well, I have learned that eating properly, and I shouldn't say properly because everybody's definition of properly is totally different than mine.
Yeah.
Eating food that is nutritiously dense is the most important thing anybody can possibly do for their health. And when I say nutritiously dense, I mean colorful fruits, vegetables, nuts, legumes, and berries. Those are the things that are very, very important for our being and for us to perform at optimal health, not to mention the omega-3s that we need into our body because our bodies do not naturally produce an omega-3. And you can get that in nuts, walnuts, fish, and flaxseed. Omega-3 is a brain food. Mm-hmm. And so we are seeing, even in young children, how important it is to have omega-3s added into our diet. The second thing is just become a food detective and try and understand your food, or, you know, at least I did. I tried to understand the food that I was purchasing, you know, all these things that my kids loved. I didn't want to not let them have them. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to be able to enjoy them, but on a healthier level. So discovering some of those simple pleasures in life, you know, I still like a glass of wine every once in a while, and I still eat chocolate. But my glasses of wine are made with good wine because wine turns to sugar. So I don't eat any other sugar substances as much as I used to. Mm-hmm. And I like my chocolate every once in a while. And I eat a dark chocolate. The higher the grade in chocolate, such as 70 or above, the more antioxidants that you're going to get into your body. And dark chocolate does not have any milk products in it. So that's another added benefit for me as well.
Yeah.
One of the other things that I've added into my nutritional regimen is because it was very difficult for me to eat the 9 to 13 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. And mind you, I'm a vegan. So that means I don't eat faceless food, nor the faces, nor the byproducts of those items that have come from an animal that has a face.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty limited on what I can eat. So I incorporated a product called Juice Plus into my regimen every single day, and that has helped give me the nutrients that I have and need on a daily basis. And it's in a capsule form, so I look at it as the Jetson food. You know, it's simple, convenient, and it just makes sense to me.
Well, let's talk a little more about that. I've taken Juice Plus for years at your recommendation, and have turned on a number of friends and family members to it, and we all swear by it. But you were telling me the other day a lot of people think that Juice Plus is a liquid, and so they have a complete misconception about what the product is.
Right. A lot of people hear Juice Plus, it's like, oh, it's a liquid beverage, and I don't want that, and da-da-da-da. And that's why I stress that Juice Plus is in a capsule form. It provides people with 17 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables every single day in a capsule. And the neat thing about this capsule, it is a vegetarian-based capsule, so it's great for individuals that are concerned from the bovine capsule that is around most of our vitamins and supplements that a lot of us take. Juice Plus is also bioavailable, meaning it's absorbed into our bloodstream within 30 minutes after consuming it. Children between the ages of 3 and 22, so college students, can even get their Juice Plus complimentary with a sponsoring adult. So to me, the company behind Juice Plus is really invested in our health, especially looking at where America is going today.
Can you compare Juice Plus to other supplements? It's not a vitamin, and it doesn't even fit into the category of supplement either, does it?
It does not. A matter of fact, the company has taken this so far that now it is classified by the Food and Drug Administration as whole food. So it has a nutritional label on it, just like an apple, just like an orange. We know that it has those fruits and vegetables have wonderful benefits to them. The same thing with Juice Plus. It's got wonderful benefits in it because it's derived from everything that nature provided for us. It's just in a capsule.
Well, I certainly swear by it, and a number of my family members do. It is. I take three different varieties. There's a orchard blend, a garden blend, and a vineyard blend. So it's three different varieties of fruits and vegetables that have been prepared as a whole food that you can take in a capsule. And it seems to keep me healthy. I know that.
Correct.
You know, I heard you talk about being a vegan. I'm betting that you probably weren't a vegan before you were diagnosed with cancer. Is that right?
I was not a vegan. You know, I grew up on a farm. And I ate meat once in a while. I ate chicken, you know, because I thought chicken was a lot cleaner than red beef and pork. Pork and red meat, I really haven't eaten in over 20 years. Chicken and turkey, I have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it amazes me today when you go to cook a whole entire turkey and it's not a organic turkey or an organic chicken, mm-hmm. and you go to lift the skin up and you see how much fat is underneath a chicken.
Right.
That's where tumors and that's where things set in. So that was kind of why, another reason why I just moved away from you know, eating meats. You know, I get enough protein in beans and nuts and, you know, soybeans and tofu. There's a lot of protein there.
You know, the one thing that's nagging at me is I know what it was like to work shift work and be on the go all the time. And you made that comment earlier. I made a note to ask you to expand a little bit. We're talking about, and I know this because I've been there and I'm still doing it. It is a major lifestyle change for most people to really start paying attention to what they put in their mouths and to start reading labels and figuring out what it is you've been consuming and maybe watching out for some of the substances that are not as healthy for us as others and, you know, going out and doing your own research to find out what your expert says about what you should be consuming. But the big challenge I know for cops and police officers, everybody in law enforcement, is you're on the go and frequently you have to be sort of prepared in advance because you can't really plan on popping in somewhere and grabbing something quick to eat because you usually don't have time to eat at a restaurant. So that means you eat fast food or you go to a convenience store and you buy something that's already packaged. So can you give us a little bit more guidance on, you know, eating on the run?
Yeah, I think eating on the run, you know, think about when our parents were, you know, growing up or even working, you know, in the workplace. They didn't have all these fast food places. They took their lunch. You know, they made sandwiches, peanut butter, jelly. You know, you can eat some, you know, you can get some good deli meat. Boar's Head deli meat is really great for sandwiches. You know, grocery stores and the manufacturers have made it very convenient for us to really not have any excuses as to why we're not consuming the amounts of fruits and vegetables because they've even prepackaged fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. for us to where they're all sliced up. You've got your apples, you've got oranges. You've got all kinds of things that are prepackaged. So it's just a matter of going to the grocery store and picking up those things. And even if you don't purchase the prepackaged items, you can still buy them whole. You can come home and you can cut them up. And it's a great way to even engage your family in participating in a healthy options for at home, around the dinner table, and for those lunches to make a Sunday and go get groceries and cut up fruits and vegetables and have them all ready and put in little baggies for the entire week. So they're right there ready to go because most of us want something that's quick and easy. It is quick and easy when you take the time and you prep it. That's the most difficult thing is doing the prep time. So if you don't want to prep it, go buy it that's already cut up for you and just put it in your little baggies. It's very simple.
Okay. You know, you made me laugh a second ago when you talked about peanut butter and jelly, and we were talking earlier about reading labels, and that lesson came home to me the time that I went to the store and just decided I would look at the label on the jelly. I picked out a jelly or a preserve or a jam that said, you know, all fruit or whatever, and then I look at the label, and that wasn't the truth. And as I started looking at every jar on the shelf, I found that you can only find a couple that were really 100% strawberry, for example. And that really opened my eyes because, you know, you kind of expect that what you're getting in this jar is ground up strawberries or blueberries or whatever your choice is. And for the most part, that's not what you're finding. And that was an eye opener for me.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I stress reading the ingredient label is very, very, very important, you know, because what they say on the or what they disclaim on the outside is not what you're going to find on the ingredient list.
Yeah, the front of the label, it can be very misleading if you compare it to the back of the label.
Right.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to ask you about, we talked a little bit about Juice Plus. What are your thoughts on other kinds of supplements and vitamins? I know that cops in particular really tend to try to be health conscious. We're fitness fanatics. And so then we try to really, you know, overcompensate by, as you already mentioned, using supplements like whey protein and other things to really bulk up. But we also try to overcompensate by taking a lot of vitamins and a lot of – there's a million other supplements out there. Can I hear your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, one of the other thing that really sold me on Juice Plus is it's backed by scientific research. So it's not borrowed research. It's research from prestigious universities, including the National Institute of Health, that are doing research or have done research on this particular product and how it affects the human body, all different races of human bodies, to decrease their oxidative stress, to help support their immune system, as well as improve their DNA strand. So one of the things that I look at as any supplementation is there's no governing agency that oversees the supplementation industry. I could put dirt in a capsule and tell you it's good for you because it's dirt.
Yeah.
Well, there's nobody
100%
that's gonna,
natural.
You know,
and organic,
come down
perhaps.
On me because it's not governed.
Yeah.
Juice Plus is classified by the Food and Drug Administration as whole food, so it goes through certain scrutiny, and it is food. You know exactly what is in it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I want to stress, too, real quick, since we're talking on supplements, is working in nursing homes as a social worker for a really long time, the nurses would always kid around as finding all these supplements and vitamins and minerals in the bedpans because they don't get absorbed into our bloodstream. They're just extracted out into our waste. And now you're even seeing in waste management companies finding all these supplements, wondering what they're going to do with them because our body's not absorbing them.
Hmm. Yeah,
they've
heard
got
countless
an awful lot of fillers in them. And some of the fillers can be from, you know, animal byproducts.
Yeah. I've heard countless experts and doctors on television say that we have the most expensive urine on earth because we really, really, really take too many vitamins and we're taking so many that our body, you know, it's way far exceeding the recommended dose that, you know, it's just, it's waste, and it's expensive waste for that matter.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about your book and you know, the lessons you learned from that, and do you want to tell people how they can get a copy?
Sure. My book is, again, What Your Doctor Doesn't Tell You, A Simple Guide Between Nutrition and Disease. It's got some wonderful resources in the back about if you've got a friend or a family member or yourself that has a particular diagnosis, where to go and get help, financial help included. So it's a great way, a great place to find some added resources for you. It's got some great pictures in there and an awful lot of research right at your fingertips to where you don't have to go look at a lot of other resources. I've read over 180 books to put different thoughts and combine them all together in my book. Mm-hmm. You can reach me, and my book is $20. $10 goes to a local nonprofit of your choice, so half of the proceeds go back into the community.
Wow.
So, again, the book is $20. You can access it by sending me an email, which is tina@simplenutrition.org, and letting me know that you heard me with John, and then just, give me your contact information so that I can send you a book. I do not take credit cards, so, before I send out a book, payment is appreciated.
We will figure out a way to make that happen. I've read it. It was really helpful. Being around you and seeing how vivacious and alive you are, it is very hard to believe that you had such a life and death struggle 10 years ago. And it certainly sold me, and you've taught me an awful lot of things about reading labels and paying attention to what I eat and reminding me that if a bug wouldn't eat it, why would I? Those kind of lessons are a little bit of a pinch, but they really open your eyes, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to thank Tina for being our guest, and as I've mentioned, I'm going to invite you to contribute more to COPS Alive. I know that Tina's done quite a bit of writing, and she still works in the healthcare field. So I'm going to invite you to contribute to COPS Alive because I think this is an area that COPS really can't get enough of, and COPS Alive has really started reaching out beyond just the law enforcement officer to their families. And this is an important topic. It's important for everybody, but with the added stress that comes with law enforcement, I think it's really important. So if you're willing, I'm going to ask you to do an occasional article for us so that we can sort of stay on top of this nutritional topic.
Absolutely. I would be honored to write and talk to individuals.
And I will remind the audience as well that, you know, COPS Alive is about cops helping other cops. And we try to find topics of interest to you, and we try to write stories and do interviews that we think will help you. If there's something you want to know about, please send me an email to editor@copsalive.com and let us know what you want to be hearing about and what you want to learn more about. When I asked Tina the other day if she'd be willing to write for COPS Alive, she said, sure, what would you like to hear about? You can tell from just this discussion, all of these areas can go on and on. So there are a lot of topics out there under the heading of nutrition that we could focus on. So Tina has already agreed that if you guys are interested in hearing more about something, if she doesn't know it, she'll do the research to find answers for you. So let us be a resource for you. We would be more than happy to do that. That's one of the reasons we exist. Tina, anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
No, just want to remind people that if you don't take care of your body, where are you going to live?
I love that saying. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is John Marks from COPS Alive. COPS Alive was created to help law enforcement professionals plan for and create happy, healthy, and successful lives, both on the job and beyond. And these podcasts are just one way that we try to help you do that. We try to bring together information on the web, in training programs, and we're soon to start publishing information as well. So stay tuned, and we'll see what we bring you next. Tina Ulatowski, thank you very much for your time. And everybody out there, stay safe.
Thanks, John.